think about Christmas, what do you think about? You know, it's kind of a heart check for us. What do we think about when we think about Christmas? But one of the things that we think about is giving, right? Giving. And so when we think about giving, one of the things that I'm drawn to is Matthew chapter 2. Verse 11 says, when they, the wise men, right? When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They presented to him, you know. And a lot of times we'll say, well, that's the reason for, that's what we think of Christmas. When we think of Christmas, we think of giving gifts. Sometimes we think that's what it's about, you know, it's about these giving of the gifts. But one thing that I want you to pick out in this verse is, what did they do first? There's always a sequence to God's word. Have you ever thought of it that way? Is that God gives us these verses. There's always a sequence he wants us to take us in. Why didn't he say, well, they came to the Lord and they threw down these gifts first? Because that wasn't the most important thing. The gifts were to remind them. Really, it was prophetic to them what Jesus was going to go through, right? His stages of his ministry. But what he wants us to understand is that these wise men came to him, these magi came to Jesus to worship him. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we put our hands up in the air and we thank the Lord and we worship him. Beyond even our worshiping of our singing, we worship him with our lives, right? And they took and they opened their treasures. It was almost like a, here it all is, Lord. Have what you would with it, you know? And for us, that's the best gift we can give to Jesus this year, is our lives. You know, open our lives up to him and allow him to work in our lives. So this giving, sometimes we often think about when we think about Christmas as we give to others, and certainly it's not a bad thing. It gives us a good heart to be able to give, right? There's something about giving to people that makes you feel good, for sure, you know. And I got to believe that our Father felt good when in John 3:16 when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Remember, this was his only begotten Son. This is what he had, you know. This is his only, you know. And sometimes I think we need to give our onlys to the Lord. We just need to give it to him. That he gave it, whosoever believes in him, that trusts him with his or her lives, that's able to say, my life, Lord, is not mine. My life is yours, Lord. I give you my life as well. And he did this so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You know, what a gift. What a gift. Don't you feel like, man, when I buy people and stuff, all that stuff's going to burn. But our everlasting life is forever lasting. It's forever. That's a neat gift, isn't it? That God would send his only begotten Son into the world and give us the true gift. Really, the true gift of Christmas. We cannot outgive God, because we would never, ever be able to give him his son back, in a sense. It would not have the same value, but we can certainly give him our lives. Sometimes when we think about Christmas, I know as a kid, I didn't think about giving as a kid. I thought about receiving. What am I going to receive? Is it going to be the right thing? Am I going to be happy with it? Am I going to be disappointed with it? You know, And scriptures, of course, warns us about that childish, in a sense, attitude about receiving. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "Do not lay up yourselves treasuring on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." So the scriptures obviously warn us about the treasures in which we have, and we got to be careful that the things that we so much want to receive don't take precedence over the Lord. Those things. Psalm 24, verse 14, verse 5, and verse 5. I'm sorry, chapter 24, verses 4 through 5. There we go. "He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his idols, his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So often we receive these gifts. How long do they last? Right? We receive a gift, and perhaps it's clothing, or perhaps it's some gadget, but they're made by hands of man. And they all wear out, no matter how good they are, right? No matter how expensive they are, they all wear out because man has made them. But what do we want to receive? Like, we want to receive the blessings of the Lord. We want to receive His righteousness, right, into our lives. We've said it again and again and again, and I think you're getting it, but our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags, right? Filthy rags. We want His righteousness. We want His blessings on our lives. That's what we want to receive. We need to understand that the thing that He's given us is eternal life, right? If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, He's given that, right, to us, eternal life. There is no more value in any other gift. There is nothing worth getting than that. And He's given it to us. We need to take it in return and give it to others, right? Allow them to have the Lord as well, as at least give them the opportunity to. And as far as receiving, we want to receive of the Lord. We don't want to receive of this world, because what this world is going to vanish. It's going to vaporize, right? So we got to be careful what we hope for, and be not disappointed when that thing that we've received doesn't last. We want Jesus in our lives. That's lasting. The other thing, when I think of Christmas, I don't necessarily... I like to give. I do like to give. I don't like to receive, by the way. I'm not a good receiver. I like to give it, right? When I was in high school and I got an opportunity to play football, right? I didn't like to play offense as much as I like to play defense. You know why? Because when I was a receiver, I always received those hard hits. When I was a back, I always gave the hit. You know, I was good at giving the hit, right? But I think the one thing that when I think of Christmas, I think of God's promises. I think of His promises. I think of how He is so accurate with His promises. So He carries through with His promises. He's not so much like us in that way where we say something, right? I promise I'll pray for you. And then we walk away, and what do we do? If you're like me, sometimes you forget. Then you're reminded, oh, I should have prayed for that person. You know, but God's faithful. I think of Abraham and Sarah, and we just went over this a little bit, but how God had promised to give them a son, right? And as they reached into their 90s, up toward the 100 mark, they were wondering, Is God really going to fulfill His promise? Because when we look at it, we think of it as an impossibility. We don't think that's a natural thing. We don't think that is something that's able to be done. It's impossible. But impossibilities doesn't limit God's promise from being fulfilled. And I think of King David. I think of God anointing him as king in Samuel 16 there, 1 Samuel 16. And he anoints him as king, yet Saul is still in charge, right? And he goes through some difficult times, and he wonders, is God's promise, is his anointing really going to come to fulfillment? I mean, it had to wander through his head as he's getting chased around by Saul, right? And wondered, is it really, but God's promises isn't detoured because of our circumstances. Because of our circumstances, it doesn't distract from God's promise. God is true, right? God is true. I always think of Daniel as well, and the prophecy of Daniel in chapter 9, verse 24 and 27 about the Messiah that would be cut off or be put to death 483 years later. God's promises are exact, right? They're timely. They're exactly what He said they would be, when they would be. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't promise one thing and then change His mind and say it's out of His grasp. We're going to have to rearrange the picture. So God's promises aren't prohibited by time. And whether it's a long time for us, right? Peter said, what? That 1,000 years is but a year to God. You know, it doesn't. Time is, He's outside of time. And we forget that. But God's promises are true. And so if when we talk about God's promises, it leads us right to the Messiah. And it's an amazing thing that God has orchestrated that whole plan of the Messiah coming. That it was very well planned out. You know, if you can, we say at work, you have plans but a plan, but God's plan is perfect. We say plans but a plan, meaning, well, you know what, we did our best. But when God does His best and He promises something, when He says it, it's true. When we look at Isaiah, chapter 7 through 12, and we often call that portion of Scripture the book of Emmanuel because it talks about the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. And it talks about it 700 years before Christ actually comes. Could you imagine talking about something that's in the future that far away? And people probably wondering, is he off his rocker? Is it really true? But God is true to His word. In Isaiah 7:14, it seems like perhaps God saw this in advance, which He did. It says, therefore the Lord Himself will give to you a sign. Remember last week we had talked about the Pharisees? They wanted a sign, right? And what did Jesus say? They could tell the weather, but they couldn't. They really couldn't tell the times. And He was really talking about the time of the Messiah coming. And I think about it and I think, how much, Lord, haven't we paid attention to You? Yet Your word is true. Right? And He said that there would be, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and His name shall be Emmanuel. God is with us. And so often do we, well, we never see that, do we? Have you ever seen a virgin give birth to a child? It's not natural. It's impossible. Unless it's the plan of God, unless it's something that God has promised, then we see that. In Micah 5, verse 2, it says that He would be born in Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to Me the One to ruler in Israel. Those going forth are from old, from everlasting, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. And we see that. We see it in Luke. Luke chapter 2 is just a confirmation of that verse in Micah. It says, "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city, Joseph also, up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, for who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." God confirms his word that what was spoken years and years before, God would make true years and years later. It's an amazing thing that as we talk through Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it tells us about this Messiah, who he would be, right? It says, verse 6 says, "For unto us is born unto us a son, a child is born unto us, a son is given." This is the first Advent where he actually is this time of year, right? But look what he's going to do. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over the kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He will become all these things. And of course, today we sit here and we've experienced the first Advent, right? We've experienced the birth of Christ, or at least we know of it and we believe in it, that he was born of a virgin and that it was the Son of God, God in the flesh, as John would say to us. And we don't see some of the rest here. We don't see that the government is upon his shoulders, but we will. We will see that, you know. So we've even got some believing to do here, just as they did in Isaiah's time, that they had some believing to do, that they had to believe that the Lord would come through on his promises. And if we've experienced Christ in our life today, we can certainly say he's wonderful. Right? We know that about his person, that he is wonderful. And that he's counseled us, that he's counseled us through his Holy Spirit, that he's given us that wisdom. And he will have that wisdom for governing the government when he does that. But he also has the wisdom to govern in our lives, right? We have to allow God to govern our lives. We have to allow him to fulfill his plan for our lives. And Mighty God, he is omnipotent, he's powerful. And amazingly, he's creator, right? He's the creator that we can experience personally in our lives. We don't have to wait for a specific religious act to experience Jesus as Almighty God in our lives. But we got to ask him to come into our lives. We got to allow him to do some miracles in our lives. And it says that he's everlasting Father, the Father of eternity. He's eternal himself, but he grants us eternal life. He's got the keys. He's got the keys, right, to eternal life. It's him that tells us whether we get in or we stay out. But it's our choice whether we go in or if we stay out. It's about salvation. And of course, we're all waiting for him to be Prince of Peace in this world. Right? As we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we want to see peace in this world. But we won't see it until Jesus comes. but we can experience in our life peace. We don't have to allow this world to distract our peace of the Lord. Right? Whatever the circumstances are, whatever the things that are going on in our lives, we can turn to Him. He'll give us peace. Right? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." So He does hold the keys of eternity in His hands. It's His. That same chapter, verse 25, would say, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus would come to give us peace. We live in a confused, we live in a chaotic world. And it's certainly, if we're wrapped up in the presence of the Christmas season, if we're wrapped up in of receiving or even giving of those presents to other people, I think we've missed the mark. We got to make sure that our Christmas is focused around Jesus. That it is good to give. It certainly exemplifies a character of Christ that perhaps this world needs to see, right? But it's got to be an unselfish giving. It's got to be a cheerful giving. It's got to be loving, right? It has to line up to the essence of Christ. In receiving, we just want to concentrate on just receiving from the Lord. How many times have you given to somebody thinking that perhaps you would receive back something from them, a gift or something? But we just want to receive from the Lord. Right? Whatever is His is, whatever is ours is His. Right? He can do with whatever we have. He can do whatever He wants with it. That's got to be our attitude. See, if our hands are tied tight to things, it's hard to give to people. Right? Because all of a sudden we give to people that deserve it. Right? God's never done that. He's never given to people that deserve it. Because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve salvation. But He's given it to us. Right? So many times do we take and we place conditions around our giving. Well, we're giving to these people because, well, we know they're going to use that properly. And they do good things. You know, they do good things for other people. I think they deserve it. Then we look at some other person that perhaps can't keep a job and maybe struggling with an addiction, right? And all of a sudden our conditions are different for that person. Well, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve my wealth to give to them. But you know what? Neither any of us have deserved Christ's wealth, right? But He's freely given. It says that He's freely given to us. No conditions. But we got to want Jesus. We got to want Jesus beyond any other gift in this world. Any other distraction. Anything else in this world. We've got to want Him more than anything. If we're truly going to receive from the Lord. If we're truly going to receive blessings from the Lord. We're going to receive His righteousness. Right? We got to truly want it. And sometimes that means that in order for us to receive, it takes an effort to receive that. Right? It takes an effort to repent from our sins. Right? But God wants a sincere heart. He wants us to come to Him with a sincere heart to receive everything that He has. And His promises, just as they seemed anyways, impossible, Abraham and Sarah and maybe even King David or even the Messiah coming seemed to be an impossible feat, right? But God's promises aren't dictated by impossibility, how impossible it is, or how hard it is. He's not detoured from His promises because of the circumstances. But I think we forget sometimes. Sometimes we forget what it was made up to get the Lord here. How hard it was, you know, how difficult it was for Jesus to show up precisely on that same day. It wasn't difficult for God, but sometimes we forget of how that day was. It wasn't, Jesus wasn't put up in the Hyatt. He wasn't put up in there, right? He was put up in a stable. It was put someplace where you would put no dignitary. It wasn't somebody. It wasn't a place for any of us that would want to live, right? A lot of us with bad backs. Could you imagine laying on the stone for a nice cold stone for the night? That's how Jesus entered in. He took the avenue that maybe wasn't convenient. Maybe it was hard. But He did it for you. Did it for me. But we've got a wonderful Savior, and I wanted to read a little bit of this to you. This is just a devotional that's just packed full of scriptures, and it's called The Daily Light if you ever want to get one. I think we might even have some in the bookstore, I'm not sure. But it's filled with scriptures, but I thought this one was fitting. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, having yet one Son, His well-beloved, He sent Him. Oh, that man would praise the Lord with his goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Can we say that? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. You know, as we even leave today, or even as we go through the Christmas season here, and we open the presents that people have given us, and then we give the presents, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Right? Don't overwhelm yourself with all the holiday frills, because the holidays will be done and you'll be as empty as you were when you began, and you don't want that. You want the peace of Jesus in you. You want to remember Him. We wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for Him. Right? Many of us would be those people that would be undeserving of anybody's help. Right? But to go through this season and get caught up in the hubbub that goes on in the malls and the celebrations, the parties, isn't lasting. It isn't lasting. It's just something that we go through, and then all of a sudden we get to the end, and where's Jesus in it all? We can't find him anywhere. But my encouragement to you today is that share Jesus with somebody. Right? Give Jesus. And if you haven't received him, receive Jesus. That is the best gift you're going to come by this Christmas or any other Christmas or any other time of year. Right? To have that peace that he gives. Because he came to give peace to us. I like that first verse that I shared. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Leaves us speechless, doesn't it? If you know Christ, it leaves us speechless. We have nothing more to say other than what Isaiah said. He's wonderful. He's wonderful.